Let us be standing and I'll ask His grace to start us off with prayer.
Στο όνομα του Πατρός και του Υιού και του Υιού Πνεύματος, αμήν. Δόξα ο Θεός, ελπίσιμον δόξα, βασιλεύ φοράνε παράκλητο πνεύμα της αληθείας, ο πανταχού παρών και τα πάντα πληρών, θησαυρός των αγαθών και ζωής χορηγός, ελθέ και σκήνωσε εν ημίν και καθάρισε ο μας, ο πάσης κλείδος, και σώσουν αγαθέτας ψυχάς ημών. Οι ευχών των Αγίων Πατέρων ημών, Κύριος Χριστέ ο Θεός, ελέησον και σώσουν εμάς. Αμήν.
Your grace, Bishop Emilianos of Meloa and the speaker of tonight's talk, Your Grace, Bishop Iakovos of Miltupolis, Father Hieronymos, Abbot of the Holy Monastery of St. George in Yellow Rock, Father Asterios and friends in Christ. It is with great honor and pleasure that we're able to start a new series of talks for this year. And the topic for this series of talks is the contemporary elders and saints. And we're focusing mostly on the last 200 years. And it's asking the question, what does holiness look like today? Of course, holiness is an eternal, an everlasting thing. And of course, each period does have its important things, that contexts in which holiness is manifested. And these very blessed people of recent times show us the way, both through their example and their life, and also their sayings and their works. The first talk tonight is perhaps one of the most recent of the elders and saints that we're going to be talking about. Elder Emilianos of Simonopetra passed away, as I understand, in 2019. And I'd like to introduce both our speaker and the talk by expressing some personal sentiments about the monastery of Simonopetra, which I love. Of course, I'm not associated with it anywhere near as much as His Grace, Bishop Emilianos. My love for Simonopetra started when I was a teenager, and hearing those beautiful chants that Simonopetra had recorded, those tapes which then became CDs, Psaltirion Terpnon, and of course the Agni Parthene. And many of you will know that Agni Parthene, the words were written by our own Saint Nectarios, but the melody to the hymn which we're so familiar with came out of Simonopetra Monastery. I had the great blessing of staying at Simonopetra Monastery on three occasions as a young adult. The third of those occasions in 2005, where I was able to, with God's providence, spend the whole of Holy Week and Pascha. And one of the things I could say is that I felt like I was in heaven. It was just so beautiful and so amazing. And despite how many hours all those services were during Holy Week, I remembered it not wanting to finish. The Anastasis service finishing at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I just wanted more and more, and I felt like I was in heaven. The other thing about Simonopetra Monastery is how warmly welcomed I felt, and I felt that the love and the warmth interactions with the monks there was something that I felt was quite unique. And both the chanting and also that atmosphere, let alone the scenery of the Simonopetra Monastery and the graphic scenery of it on the cliff face, but at least the chanting and the warmth of the monks there, sincerity of their interactions is I believe a legacy of Elder Emilianos, whom I didn't meet when I was there. He had retired as abbot of Simonopetra Monastery. The last time I was there in 2005. The other monks, when they knew that I was from Australia, they'd say, two of our monks have gone to Australia, do you know them? And it was His Grace and Father Hieronymos that had just left in the previous few months from Simonopetra to come to Australia and to set up the monastery at St. John in Perth. And of course, I got to meet them in due time, even in Perth. So all those links are very blessed, and there's no better person to talk about who Father Elder Emilianos is other than his namesake, his grace, Bishop Emiliano. So we thank you so much for coming here today, and we look forward to hearing about your experience with the elder.
Thank you very much, Father George. My voice is always a problem. If you can't hear me, we'll see what happens.
Maybe this is a longer mic, might be better.
Okay. I wish I had Father Asteri's voice, but all right. Can you hear me? No? Can you hear me now? Better? All right. Lucky the church is small. Now, I didn't really come here to talk, but I was thinking of asking you what you know about Gerard Emiliano. But then once I entered, I saw that you all have masks, and I think. But still, I want to ask you, what do you know about Elder Emiliano? What's something that got your interest, that you have heard about Gerard Emiliano? Just, I can't hear you as it is. Which was? He started from Meteora, but it was Ormilia and Simonopetra. No, two. Is that it? Nothing else? Thank you, Nectaria. Anyone else? Anything?
So that what we read in his texts, which are available to us now both in Greek and English, we come to experience a man with the grace of God speaks through, and especially in one of the texts where he speaks about fullness and understanding. Even if we feel this part is fulfilled,
you should have kept going. You make my job easier. Anyone else? Who knows how many books, or some of the books, or even one of the book of the books that Gerard Emiliano has written?
Do you want to give the title?
Huh? Sorry? Yes, anything?
The mystical marriage.
Okay. Anything else?
Do you write any books? You just gave 12 people talk about the books.
That's correct. He didn't write any books. So he himself, he never wrote any books. But the recordings of his talks, they are thousands of hours. Some of them, they are published into books. Some of them are not yet published. And how did this publication of the book start? Anybody knows the story behind the beginning of the publication of the books? So the nuns of the female monastery, who he started from the beginning, he was the founder of the monastery. Or maybe we say the story a little bit differently. Yerdas Emilianos, at some stage, I'm not going to tell you his life. You can find it and read it, you can Google it. And I'm not good with talking about history. But I will tell you, similar to what Father Stereo said for Yerdas Emilianos' writing, I will tell you experiences with Yerdas Emilianos. So he was at some point at the Megalo Meteoro, the abbot, and there was the female brotherhood at St. Stephanos, which is also another monastery, Meteora. The male brotherhood moved to Mount Athos, they went to Simonopetra, and the female, the sisterhood, they followed Yeruda as well, and they went somewhere close in Chalkidiki. Now this big metohi that was there, which was nearly destroyed, there was few things, there, just basic stuff, belonged to Vatopedi, the monastery of Vatopedi. But back then, Vatopedi was an idiorithmo, and Mount Athos, the monasticism in Mount Athos was not really doing great. So they decided to sell this metohi. And this metohi was just about to be bought and to be converted to a big brothel. That's what they were going to do with this piece of land and everything there. And Yerdas Emilianos bought it and they made the nunnery. So the nuns then, they respected Yerda, of course, it was their spiritual father. And they transcribed some of his talks, a few different subjects, few talks, like, I don't know, seven, I can't remember how many of them. And they put them together in one little thing, and they wanted his blessing so that they would publish them, but it was the first time ever. And Yerdas started getting sick back then, and he didn't give them an answer. So the time came that they had to say to the publication if they are going ahead or not. There was no more time left. They were either going ahead or they were not. So Gerodissa, the abbess, went with the transcript, which was like this, photocopies, and asked Yerda, they are waiting for a reply. We don't have more time. We should have let them know a while ago. What are we going to do? Are we going to give this for publication? Have you checked it? Are you happy with it or not? And Yerdas didn't say anything, but at this instant, a beautiful fragrance came out from the script and filled up the whole room. And they realized that God wanted these things to be published. So Yerdas didn't say anything. He just took the photocopies and gave it to Gerodissa. And Gerodissa went ahead with the publication of the first book. That's how that's how the publications of his books started. There are lots of books still to be published. There are lots of material to be translated in English, but he did not write any books himself. So that's all his spiritual children bring in life, his talks. That's what these things are. Nektarios said something before. Do you have any idea if he was connected with any contemporary saints or elders? Yardas Emilianos. Anyone?
Sometimes he would send people to St. Maestro because he thought that he would better suit the temperament or something. He also then was sent to Sofronie or Sakharov, and I'm sure he was working with all of them. It's like they're all new to us. Thank you.
Anyone else? Anything to add? So he knew all the contemporary elders, and he had special relationships, of course, with Saint Paisio, but also with Papa Ephrem from Katunakia and with Saint Sofronio from Essex. One of the first, if not the first time that Yerdas went to see Papa Ephrem, he was, I think, still the abbot at the Megalo Meteoro. So more or less he was dressed like me with a white shirt, I don't know about cufflinks, but, and ironed raso, like he looked clean. And he went to visit Papa Ephrem, who was in the desert, and they never cared about what they were wearing, or if it was gray, if it was black, if it was blue, if it was fainted. And they went to meet him, get his blessing. And Papa Ephrem, once he showed him like this, he thought to himself, another archimandrite from the world, meaning there is no spirituality in this person. But then again, because he didn't want to judge, but he wanted to understand, just in case God had something to tell him about him, he went and he prayed before he spoke to Yerda Emiliano. And while he was praying, it was revealed to him that Yerdas Emilianos, for him, he would have been a second Saint Joseph the Hesychast, because Papa Ephrem's elder was Saint John the Hesychast. And then he went out and he said to his brotherhood, "Βρήκαμε δεύτερο Γέροντα Ιωσήφ." We found a second elder Joseph. And that's how their spiritual connection started, the two of them. And they were very close to each other. Papa Ephrem, every time he could, he would visit Simonopetra. He taught tonsured a monk called Ephrem in Simonopetra. And then he also went to Ormilia, to the female monastery. He visited a few times. And I remember, was it the first or the second time that I ever visited Mount Athos? On my way out, Yerodas Emilianos suggested that I go through Ormilia. And on that day, I remember it was 14th of September, to Stavrou, the exaltation of the Holy Cross, there was a tonsa in the monastery, Adelphi Petronia, whose brother was a monk in Simonopetra, and the tonsa was from Papa Ephrem. Because, Tora, I hope you will understand what I will say, but Father Eftimius, whose sister was tonsured, was a cousin of the first disciple of Papa Ephrem. I don't know if this makes any sense. So Father Yosef, who was the first disciple of Papa Ephrem in his small cell, had a cousin in Simonopetra, Pater... πώς τον είπαμε? Ευθύμιος. And his sister, αδερφή Πετρονία, was tonsured on the day, and I happened to be the... Yeah. If you have any questions about Yer de Miliano, let me know, if I can answer them. Now, I have a question, another question for you. You might have read, you might have heard, or you might have thoughts about what methods could some could a person like Yer de Miliano, an abbot, a spiritual father, what methods could he use to attract people to himself for confession and to the church? Any ideas? Silence is a virtue at certain times.
At other times, it doesn't help.
Sorry, Father, my name is Rosa. I was just going to say, I think when a person is holding, it's the spirit that's inside them that really attracts people to them and to the church within. So it's not really that person himself, but the spirit that's living in.
That's correct.
You know, every lost soul is attracted to that. Because that's really where every lost soul is searching for.
That's correct. Anybody wants to say anything on that? So as a young person, I got to meet him. I spoke to him a few times. I was getting closer and closer to the monastery and to him. And once, very happy, I went and I told him, Yeroda, I feel that I'm getting more and more connected with you. I was happy. I said it as a positive comment. He looked at me with a serious look, and he said, I will never do anything for you to be connected with me. So basically, what he meant is that he wanted his spiritual children to be connected with God, not with him. He was there to help, but he wanted his spiritual children to be connected with God. And we will talk about this a bit further down the track. But going back to what Costa said, we are all here tonight because of him, if this makes any sense. If it wasn't him, if it wasn't for him, I would have never been a monk. Because personally, I was not attracted to monasticism. I was attracted to a spirit. I was attracted to the spirit of Simonopetra. I would have never gone to any other monastery to become a monk. It was not my intention, I'm telling you. I had my path paved. I would have followed my father's job or whatever. Oh, I want to become a psychiatrist once. Anyway. But I would have never become a monk if it wasn't for Yero de Miliano. And he never told me you should become a monk.
But I will ask you a question that I was going to ask later. But now that we talk about the connection between the spiritual children and the spiritual father, how could we describe the certainty that the elder we have is the one that God wants from us? How could we sense this connection? How could we describe this? And of course, that's not at the early stages, but as the time passes, we need to get to know our Yerud a little bit more and this and that. I understand that. But how would you think we could describe this certainty? For example, for myself, I was certain that I was supposed to have Yerud Emilianos as my Yerud. How would I, or how would you describe this certainty? How would you feel it? What do you think about this? Do you love your spiritual fathers? If you do, you should have something to say. I understand what you're saying. I understand. Peter?
I would say that they speak to your soul, they understand you, and they build you up, and they help restore you.
Anyone else? How would you describe this certainty? That's it.
I think that certainty is really in my heart.
It and is, of course it is.
It comes down to where our own spirit is and whether we listen to that spirit that's talking to our heart.
Yes.
I think, if I can add a verse, free them that merece, que está separado, o ti se lefos, that you have somebody to take you to Christ. without taking away your freedom.
Yes. This reminds me that when I visited Simonopetra the first time ever, I felt a spirit of happiness, love, and freedom that I never thought that could exist in a monastery. But this spirit is what made me a monk. Otherwise, I would have been married. So, back to the question and to add to what His Grace just told us, on a personal level, I would find the answers of my questions in what He would tell me. So He would tell me, He would answer my questions, and then I would look inside me and I would think, this is what I thought was right. So He would reassure the answers that I thought they were in me for my questions, but I was not sure, or I was still looking for them, but deep down I knew that these are the answers. So if I was to ask Him something, He would give me an answer that would talk so deeply in me that I would understand that this is the right thing and nothing else for me, just that. And this ended up to the point that I deeply believed in my heart that God had created me to have Gerard Emiliano as my spiritual father, to this extent. And I thought that no one else in the universe could be my spiritual father. Why? Because I'm unique? No. It's because this connection was so strong that nothing else could replace it. It's like, this is my hand. No one else's hand could be my hand. This is mine. That's how it felt. This connection that no one else in the universe could replace my Yeruda. I was created for Him. And when I was little, I never heard about Him. So it's not like people told me about Him. I never, ever, ever heard about Him until I went to Mount Athos. Of course, I never heard about St. Paisio as well. That's a different story. But it was the feeling inside me that made me go closer and closer to Him, although He never tried to suffocate me, to make me follow Him. You see, St. John the Forerunner, when he realized that Christ was the one, although they were related, but at some point in his life he realized Christ was the one, he told his apostles, forget about me, just follow Christ. So this was the feeling. I had to forget about everybody else and just follow Christ, who was my elder for me. And this was so strong that even if you were to tell me you're wrong, all right, you're free to believe whatever you want. Simple as that. I know in my guts that what I'm doing is right. And as we said previously, we're all gathered tonight because of Him. If it wasn't for Him, I would have not been a monk, I would have not been an abbot, I would have not been a chancellor, I would have not made this talk, you would have not come here. Very simple. And I cannot forget that Archbishop was elected the day that he passed away, the day that Gerard Emilianos passed away. And I cannot forget that Archbishop arrived in Australia when it was the 40 days of Gerard Emilianos passing away. And then I was his only disciple in Australia and I became the Chancellor. I don't know, maybe coincidence, but it's not. Yeah. So that's why I'm saying we're all here tonight because of Him. Believe it or not, understanding it or not, I was driving once and there was a car in front of me and there was a sign on the back screen. God loves you whether you like it or not. It is what it is. You might not like it, but God loves you. You might not want to believe it, but God loves you. Do whatever you want, God loves you. Anything on that? So he never tried to use any methods to attract people to the church. It was the Holy Spirit inside him that was attracting people to the church. The same way that once upon a time, God wanted to destroy our planet, but he didn't do so because there were three people that they were praying for everyone. And such people like Yerdas Emilianos, their prayer does not extend to his spiritual children only, but it covers the whole creation. I don't know if you would even believe what I'm saying, I'm just saying it. So it covers all the people that are alive now, all the people that they were ever born, and the people that will be born, because for God there is no time. I don't know if this makes sense, but theology doesn't usually make sense. And holiness doesn't make sense. If you try to analyze holiness with your logic, you just go crazy. So he never tried to connect anyone with himself, and he never tried to manipulate people's consciences, which is terrible. What do I mean by that? I mean that if your spiritual father, and I'm not saying if a spiritual father inspires fear, that's blackmailing. That's manipulation. God is not fear, God is love. So if they force us, our spiritual fathers, to do things, that's not what Christ would have done. He said to his apostles, "Do you want to go? Go. Better for me. Less headaches." But he loved them so much that they told him, "Where are we going to go? There is nowhere else that we can find this security, this love, this warmth. Where are we going to go? There is nothing else." And there is nothing else. That's the thing, there is nothing else. Anything that anybody would like to add? Have you ever heard, now this question might sound strange, but I will tell you why I'm saying this. Have you ever heard if anyone didn't like Yerda de Miliano? Of course there were people that didn't like him, but have you ever heard of like someone saying that he didn't like him? And I will tell you an experience that I had with that. So basically, I never heard anyone saying anything bad for Yerda Emilianó except once. And I was very young then. I was studying physiotherapy in Thessaloniki. And a friend of mine told me, "Let's go to the hospital. There is a monk who had a terrible car accident. And let's go and keep him some company." And I thought to myself, that's a good thing to do, let's go. We went there, he asked me, "Who's your Yerdas?" And I said, "Yerdas Emilianos." And he started saying bad things about Yerda Emiliano. Now this person, he had such a terrible accident, like his legs, they were up on the bed and full of metal inside, and they were even connected with each other, I think. It was, I don't know how he was alive, like terrible, terrible accident. So I got scandalized because I thought to myself, he might have his opinion, but I don't need to hear these things. I want to believe what I believe, otherwise I will be shaken. How am I going to progress spiritually? So next time I went to Mount Athos, I confessed it. I said, "Yerda, I went to see this monk. And he knew you from Meteora. He came there once or twice. And he told me bad things about you. And I'm thinking of not ever going back to see him again. Because if I'm going to see him to keep him company, he tells me bad things about Meteora, what am I doing? And I thought he would agree. And he said, γιατί παιδί μου, μοναχός είναι, να πας. So basically, he said, now go back and keep him company because he needs company. And he didn't care that this person was saying things against him. And he didn't stop there. He said, tell to Papa Miron, who was the second in charge, tell him, if he knows who he is, to send him some money in case he needs something. And I was just, I didn't know what to say. Like, I was just telling him, you've got someone that doesn't like you, and he's telling me things against you, and I get scandalized, and you're sending me back, and you're telling me to help him. What am I to make out of this? I was to understand that he doesn't think the way we do, love your friends and hate your enemies. Or he doesn't think that protecting our children is not letting them be where other people are, but what? Love unconditionally your enemy and help your enemy and trust that God will guide your children regardless if they go through people that they will tell them whatever they will tell them. And that's why everyone could sense that he left his spiritual children free, he would let them free, but he would guide them with his prayers, and they would end up going where they should be. He would hold them together with his prayers. That's not an easy thing. And another time, I was still a novice or a young, I was a young monk. There was a novice in the monastery. He was a doctor. He studied medicine. He got 10 out of 10 in the university. He finished 10 out of 10. Brilliant mind, but his the spirit that he had from his spiritual father was to ask for every little detail and a little bit like miserable and a little bit like I won't talk because it's not ascetic. A little bit like that. And once I went where his quarters were, Yeruda's quarters, and this novice was there. And I think the novice got his blessing and he left, and I was left with Yeruda. And then he told me the following. I won't say the name of the person, although this was his lay name, now he's a monk. He told me, look at him. Make him a father the way you are a father. I was not a father, I was a beginner. But the point of what he was trying to say was that spiritual fathers should not keep their spiritual children for the rest of their lives. Give them the tools to grow up. Give them the tools to become like you, if not better than you. That's how the church advances. Not by keeping them under obedience in a way that they will never know what to do in their lives. And if I pass away, what happens after? They won't know what to do. They won't know what's right and what's wrong. Yerdes Emelianos had the specific behavior to be in his male monastery, maybe, I don't know, maybe even less than half a year. So maybe two-thirds of the year he was away. So because he had the female monastery, he had Metochia, dependencies in France, in Athens, he was doing confessions in Thessaloniki, they would invite him for talks, he was going everywhere. And he was doing this on purpose. He wanted us to be able to live with his absence as if he's present. Because if we were to lose him, we would lose everything. But if you were to live with his absence, with his presence, when he is absent, you will always have him with you. And that's why when Papa Ephrem passed away, his brotherhood was destroyed. They were just like five, not even five people, and they couldn't live with each other. The one went east, the other one went west. They fell apart. And one of them came to Simonopter and he was telling us, Yerdas Emelianos gave you the right guidance on this. You would live with his presence when he was absent. We had to have Yerda with us 24/7, and when we lost him, we couldn't live with each other. So it's very important for our spiritual children and for our children to know what to do when we're not around, and to know what Yerdas would have done when Yerdas is not there, and to know what Christ would have done if he was in our shoes. If we know these things, nothing can go wrong. If we know these things, we carry Yerda with us at all times. And of course, it's good when we have him, but one day we won't. And it's very important to create a space inside our heart where not only he lives, but he governs our lives from there. Why? Because we think alike, and we have the same spirit, and we would say the same things, and we would do the same things. Anything? Any questions?
Your Grace. Obviously, we're talking about not just a great spiritual man, but also a very discerning, cultivated elder. In your experience, what made him have those qualities that he did have?
When he was still a lay person, he always, that's what I heard from others because I wasn't around then, he always had one thing in mind, a verse of a psalm. Διδάξω ανώμεσα σου δούσου και ασεβείς επισέ επιστρέψουσι. So he had a little bit of a spirit of becoming a missionary, of helping the church. Then, that was because no one ever told him about monasticism. Then he had some very difficult times in his life, and then he ended up in a monastery. He was sort of there having no hope from every human being. The situations were such that he was there and in a way desperate. And this monastery was the Dusiko, it's Statrikala. And they carry the skull of Saint Vissarion, the holy relics of Saint Vissarion, Archiepiscopus Larissis. So he prayed, he He got the holy relics in his room. He embraced them and he was praying and asking Saint Vissarion to give him what his heart was desiring. He didn't even know. He was asking Saint Vissarion, "Δώσ' μου τη λαχτάρα της ψυχής μου," but he didn't even know what he was desiring. And then he said that he went a child, and in 9 months he left an elder, because Saint Vissarion gave him such strong spiritual experiences through the Holy Spirit that this changed the way that Gerudas was thinking, the way that Gerudas was looking at things, the way that Gerudas was understanding people. So basically, I think your question was what made him as such. It was the Holy Spirit. But to get there, the question would be, how do you get there? You get there if inside us we only desire what God wants and we don't have ideas about who we should be or where we should be and what we should do. He had his plan to help others, but at the end of the day, inside him, he wanted only what God would want for him. And that's how you totally empty yourself from everything, and that's how you can be filled up with the Holy Spirit. I don't know if this answers your questions. Anyone else, any other questions? So, after everything we said, how can we understand what's something for us that can ring a bell and tell us he was a very spiritual person, to put it in simple words? What's something that can tell us that he was a very spiritual person? Anyone?
Ήταν ένα βάθος αμέτρητων της θεολογίας του Θεού που δεν περιγράφεται. You can't express it. Simply because even the things that he writes in his writing that θεολατρία, νομίζω ότι ο καλύτερος θεολόγος θα είχε πάρα πολύ μεγάλο πρόβλημα να καταλάβω το βάθος το οποίο γράφει, γιατί ήταν εμπειρική μεταφόρηση.
That's correct for someone who met him through his writings. Anyone else? Once a disciple of Saint Porphyrios visited Simonopetra, and he told us something that he knew from his elder. He said, Saint Porphyrios used to say to them, "When I was young, I had so much grace," because he got the grace of God very young. He could see things, he could understand. He could go inside the earth and tell you what's where and if there is water, and even taste the water and tell you if it's sweet or not. We know these things. So when he was young, he got so much grace from God that he didn't know what to do with it. But when he became older, he could pass on this grace. And there was not even one human being capable of accepting this grace. He knew. That's irrelevant, but relevant to what I'm going to say. Because Gerardus Emilianos didn't only have all this grace that we read from his book, he could also pass it on to others. And this is how his children know that he is a great saint. Because what he had, it was not for himself. The way he got the grace from Saint Vissarion, the way he got the Holy Spirit from Saint Vissarion, the same way he could pass it on to his disciples. And all his monks and nuns, they have personal experiences with Gerarda. And even the married people. So, and this doesn't mean that whoever is not his disciple cannot experience what Gerardus Emilianos could, prayers could do for him. Because we know that when someone is a holy person, you pray to him and you get results. In Mount Athos, every time we lost something, we would pray to Saint Mina, not Saint Fanurio, Saint Mina. That's the tradition in Mount Athos. And I tell you what, he's very quick. He is very quick. And you don't need to do a Fanuropita because he's not Saint Fanurius. He's very quick. The same way, if you pray to Gerard Emiliano about something, he will listen. Of course, if you believe. If you don't believe, don't even bother. That's another way, other than his writings, to understand his greatness. Anyone, anything on that?
The grace. You were speaking a lot about how inspirational he was to you, and of course, he was a very inspiring man. But given that there's not too many Saint Emilianoses in the world, what? I'm trying to, is it possible to have that experience with an elder, even though that elder is, doesn't have the sort of the, has left the sort of the grandeur, if you like, of Saint Emilianos? I don't know if the modern Christian makes sense.
Have that experience? Can you repeat the last part?
I'm trying to get a lesson for myself that we don't have Saint Emilianos or people like him, perhaps in our surroundings, maybe we do, but is it still possible to have the benefits of that relationship with the spiritual father in a similar sort of way?
Yes, there is an issue here. There are two things I wanted to say on that. The first thing is that Gerardus Emilianos got the grace not from another elder. Saint Porphyrios got it from another elder, from a Russian monk that was praying at the time. But Gerardus Emilianos got it from Saint Vissarion. Saint Vissarion was not a contemporary elder. He was a saint. So we can get the grace of God from a saint. It doesn't have to be an elder who's alive. But there is one more thing, which is what, I'm going back to Papa Ephrem. He used to say, if your spiritual father is a king, you are born a prince. If not, you might need to work hard to get there. Tora, could we say that God just gave few disciples to Gerard Emiliano and everybody else will have to try hard to get the grace. No, because as we said before, Hierodes Emilianos didn't have anyone. Got it from Saint Vissarion. But still, this indicates a connection. If we can connect with a contemporary saint who's holy, there are so many saints we can connect with. And that's why the saints, they even make miracles now. Saint Nectarios, uncountable miracles. So you can still find this connection in a way. And at the end of the day, God knows what's the benefit of our soul. So if he knows that there is a person that might be able to help us spiritually, he would lead us there. But if our soul really, really seeks for something without any selfishness, but like just pure love for God, if we really seek something, one way or another, we will get it. There is no way that God will not give us what we desire if our motives are pure and if our motive is just love for God. So we might not even know the ways. That's why Hierodes Emilianos was always saying, if you don't have a spiritual elder around you, read some books. The spiritual books, they were written from holy people. You will get answers. Read the gospel. You will get answers. And the Holy Spirit will tell you inside you that this is the right answer for me. And you move on. It's not the same, but at the same time, if we truly seek for something, God will give it to us. And the reason why we find something is because we are looking for something. And even if, like Saul, we know that he was, Pavlos, he was persecuting the church, but inside him, he was looking for something. He was looking for the truth. And that's why the truth was revealed to him without him even asking. But he was asking. His heart was asking. He didn't know he was asking. But all his life, he was following what he thought the true faith was. Selflessness. So if we, even if we are in the wrong path, let's say, if our hearts are pure and we want the right thing, and we want the grace of God, one way or another, God will lead us there. God does not discriminate. God is pure love, and that's it. He will give us whatever our heart desires, if we're honest with God and with ourselves. Does this answer your question, Father? Anyone else? If we truly, truly, truly try and we don't get there, it's because it might not be the right time or it might not be our benefit to get such grace that we might not be able to handle. It means that we need to be better prepared. And there are different ways that God can prepare us. Once they asked Saint Paisio about this verse of the gospel saying that if you have faith like a small seed of mustard, you can move mountains. And they asked him to explain this. And he said, it's not that we don't have enough faith as a mustard seed. We have more than that. But the problem is that if we were to move mountains, we will be so proud that we will go lower than before. And that's why God doesn't give us this grace to be able to move mountains. Humility, basically, it's what keeps us together and what helps us grow. So if we can't grow spiritually, we need to look to ground zero and see if that's proper. And usually we prepare ground zero with humility. If we manage that, I don't see a reason why God will not give you not only grace, but the strength to handle the grace as well. Because the more grace you get, the more your capacity grows, and you can receive even more grace. And the grace of God is not just having a spiritual experience once. Yerdes Milianos used to say that when someone falls into ecstasy and sees God, this is very important, but these cases, they might happen just a few times in our lives. What we need to cultivate is the constant communication with God, which is not like an ecstasy, but at the same time, you ask God and you get your answers. Anytime you ask God, you will get your answers. Not just once. So if we cultivate ourselves with humility, there is no reason why the Holy Spirit will not come. The same way that it went to Yerdem Lieno, to all his saints. Saint Vissarion, to be able to pass on such grace means that he's a huge saint. No one knows about him. Only the people in Larissa. No one else really knows about him. But to be able to give that much means that you're very rich. That's what humility does, makes you great without anybody necessarily knowing. But if you're humble, God's grace grows roots inside you, and then one day you will realize that God has blessed you. Agree? Anything else? Anyone else? Guided the monastery with great difficulty. Unfortunately, because humans, they have not just an ego, a very strong ego. When the brotherhood first went to Simonopetra, there were some older monks there. And of course, It was expected that Yerdas Emilianos would be the abbot of the monastery, but because he had the younger monks that he brought with him were like 15, if they were to have elections and they voted, they would have voted him. So he would have been the abbot anyway. But when they did elections, he told to the older monks, none of my spiritual children will vote, just the older ones. And you vote whoever you want to be the abbot of your monastery. And everybody voted Yerdas Emilianos. The same happened when he got sick. He was away for years. And I'm not saying this to compare situations, but if a monastery is without an abbot for a year, it just falls apart. Not a year. Way sooner than that, it falls apart. So we were for years without a Yerda. And then when the elections happened, everybody was allowed to vote, everybody who was tonsured by him. This is the law, because the newer ones, there were not enough years in the monastery, so they wouldn't have the right to vote. But there were no candidates. Everybody was eligible. And everybody, nearly, voted Yerda Eliseo, who, when he was one of the first people in the Brotherhood, when they were in Meteora, and he was a lay person, when he was away, he would have him there to replace him, and the monks would have to get blessing for everything from him, from a lay person. And so many years after, like 30 years later, without elections, they elected him. So I said that he governed with great difficulty because he might have wanted to do things in the monastery differently, but if he saw that there is a resistance, he wouldn't push. He was saying that Yerdas who goes against his disciples' will, θα σπάσει τα μούτρα του, meaning that you will destroy this relationship with your disciple, and this is not something that will help the disciple develop, because they destroy the connection with God. That's just one of the things. There are so many, but and we already are talking for over an hour. But he would tell you what to do. He would not push you. If you were smart, you would do it. You could, of course, tell him your difficulties. You have to say your difficulties. But there was a monk once that he wanted, someone gave him a very expensive pen as a gift. He wanted desperately to keep the pen. Yerda, can I keep the pen? Said him, what do you need this pen for? Just don't worry about it. Yerda, can I keep the pen? What are you going to do with it? Just throw it in the over the cliff. There's a cliff in Simonopetra. And then the monk, he tied it up in a string, he threw it over the cliff, and he got it back up. Now, that's just a pen. But this sort of obedience won't get us anywhere. So it's up to us if we follow the spirit of Yerba. And it's up to us to find loopholes and do what we want. I shouldn't say more. I've got some more, but I shouldn't say more because I've talked for too much. If you have any questions, then we'll leave it there. I won't answer your question, but I will tell you one last thing that I should say, because it might be not very common. Let's say that he had to go for a trip, to go for a talk or something. How do you think he would pray before that? Any ideas? So he would say, Πανάγιο μου πνεύμα, έχω να κάνω ένα ταξίδι. Σε παρακαλώ, τακτοποίησέ το. So he would ask the Holy Spirit to take care of whatever he would have to do. And the Holy Spirit was. When you reach a certain level, it will sound weird, but God is obedient to you. You're not obedient to God. Not because you're not obedient to God, but because you're so full of Him that if you want something, it becomes God's will. It's like Panagia Paramithia, who forced Christ to give the message to the monks that they will die, and we know what happened. So when you reach such level, you have authority over the Holy Spirit. If this makes any sense. Yeah. And this should not be misunderstood, because we're not trying to say something other than what the fathers of the church have taught us, but we can see that some saints, they were asking for things and they were getting them. Or some saints, they might not have even asked, but they wanted things in their hearts, and God was doing them for them. Because of the love they had for God and because of the connection with God. So if you're a spiritual father a few years down the track, Father Steady, and you pray for your spiritual children, even if you don't know what's the benefit for them, God will set up the way for them. If you are a spiritual person, if you are one with the Holy Spirit. So if we manage to become one with the Holy Spirit, that's what happens to us, and that's what happens to everyone around us. Otherwise, τα ίδια παντελάκια μου, τα ίδια παντελή μου. That's it. That's it. Τελειώσαμε, Πάτερ. He would tell us not to fight with our thoughts. He would tell us to ignore our thoughts. And he used to say that the thoughts, the annoying thoughts, or the thoughts during prayer, they are like little birds. If you keep giving them small pieces of bread, they will keep coming back. If you stop feeding them, eventually they will get bored and go away. So don't try to prove to your thoughts that you're right. Don't try to converse with your thoughts. Don't panic about your thoughts. Just ignore the annoying thoughts and the thoughts during prayer. And that's what I think he would generally say. But you can always hear the Nipsey's talks. and read the book once it's published in English. It's not yet in English. That's it.
Any other calls? Last call? One more call? Questions or comments?
I feel like I'm in auction. In auction.
Good race. And you also let us know to let you know that said we will be answering tonight. A very special welcome to those people that are watching and listening through the live stream. But that was a lot of sight, and I apologise. And all the talks will be live streamed for the benefit of those that cannot be with us tonight.
That's okay.
Your Grace, you presented a very unique talk. You have said, like you said from the beginning, you didn't talk about his life or in any great detail, and that you presented to us a very personal, as we look for, empirical account of his life, of a great spiritual elder of our contemporary times, and it is indeed a blessing from God that he has given us these holy people to guide us. And I think it's an inspiration for us to find out more about him, and as you said, to read up personally about his life, to fill in the gaps, especially those that may be less familiar with his life, and also to read some of his works. I'm sure that there are things, if we read his works, we'll be able to sort of find things of benefit, even though not a lot has been translated in English available online. I'm sure we'll be able to find things that will be very beneficial for all of us, and to look out for his works and to study them. Before I finish though, I'd like to invite Grace and Bishop Yakovos maybe to say a few other thoughts that you may have. Yes, thank you. Yes, indeed. Thank you again, Your Grace. It's wonderful. I'm very grateful.
Nice to come up with you.
This is our way of announcement. This is, as we said before, the first of a series of talks with contemporary elders and saints. They're going to be of different walks of life to give us a full flavour of holiness in modern times. The next talk, and there is a flyer here, a green flyer on the table that you can pick on the way out. This is a series of talks for the first half of the year. The next talk, which will be held in a fortnight in here, hopefully there won't be too much jackhammering outside, will be Mr. Nikolaos Petrus, who will talk about St. Nikolai of Japan.